This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Shard Sabdullah and you are listening to The Breakfast Grill. Many don't know the juggling act that a person in the studio has to do to create a show. The music, the sound, timing, panels, recordings, the content, all has to be orchestrated to perfection to produce a good program. So radio uses a specialized computer software to help us manage almost everything that I've just mentioned earlier, and all that is happening in the studio. So joining me on The Breakfast Grill this morning to talk about the software that is supporting almost every radio station in Malaysia is Philippe Generali, the CEO of RCS Worldwide. Philippe, good morning, and it's a pleasure to have you on The Breakfast Grill this morning.
Good morning, Shari. Thanks for having me.
All right, Philippe. RCS is celebrating its 40th birthday this year, and if I'm not mistaken, is that right?
That is correct. We've been at it for a while, yes.
I mean, looking back, in what ways has the RCS of today evolved from the yesteryears?
You have to figure out that computers, personal computers at the very least, did not exist before 1981, 82, 83. And before that, in the U.S., because the companies based in the U.S., I'm based in New York, were working with programmers who were writing the songs that they wanted to play on the air on lists, and they were trying to be careful about what song was played yesterday at the same time. I'm going to try to not play the same song at the same hour in that show. And they were writing that down. It would take an enormous amount of time. So we introduced the first music scheduling system on a personal computer, which is called Selector. And that's today what is being used by most radio stations around the world. They have a gigantic help from the computers because it remembers what was played yesterday, what was played last week. And that's a huge help to create a more entertaining, more diverse list of songs for music stations. So this is how it started. Then from there on, you go to automation, where how do I make sure that the program, for example, can run at night? And is it possible that the station has some music or something to play at night when nobody necessarily is there? You know, I don't want to turn off my radio station. I want something to come out.
To help you go to sleep.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we have automation system, which is a second part of the business, where we help the station stay on the air without necessarily somebody in the studio. So we segue songs, we segue commercial jingles and all this. And that's the part which makes it 24/7 on the air all the time.
So which was the first radio station that bought that computer from RCS? Do you remember?
Yeah, so the first radio station was probably, I mean, it happened in several countries. WNEW in New York was a station that was playing rock at the time. Mm. And they were fascinated by the concept of having a computer help program. And of course, the computer in those days was very slow, and it would take hours to calculate the playlist of a few dozen songs.
There's been a lot of changes in the radio industry, right? Let's talk about the business of things. You know, in most countries, radio spectrum is regulated. This basically limits the number of radio stations that is available in the country. Do you find that this is the case everywhere, or are we speaking to only certain countries?
It's interesting because every country has different rules. In the U.S., for example, if we stick to FM, you have as much as possible a space which allows you to squeeze a certain number of frequency for each megahertz on the dial for the FM. So in New York, you have probably, I don't know, 60 or 70 stations that you can receive when you're in your car and you're playing with the dial, the radio set. If you're in Tokyo, there's one station, Tokyo FM, and that's that's the one FM station that you can get, essentially. So the competition is very different when you are the only game in town and when there's 70 radio stations. So some countries are very strict in the number of stations they approve, and some are very liberal. For example, in the UK, when you apply for a radio station, you have to prove that you are not going to encroach on somebody else's format.
Is it still the case in the UK? Because I know that they've migrated from the analog radio to digital. Is it still the same issue? I mean, is spectrum still an issue there?
The digital spectrum is a whole new universe of frequency, which is an order of magnitude bigger than the FM. Mm. So DAB, as it's called in this part of the world, or HD radio, as it's called in the United States, allows to have, for one station, you can have several digital stations. For one FM frequency, you can have several digital frequencies. So now, all of a sudden, you can have hundreds of stations on the AB. And that really...
With a small number of frequency, with a very small band of frequency.
Yes. So, but the quality is better, and you can have many, many of them on the same spectrum. So the digital stations are... The price in the digital station has increased the number of potential stations on the air.
Right.
And then, of course, the internet makes it an infinite number because in your car you can listen to internet station today, either on your phone or some radio set are equipped with direct internet station selection. And that makes it infinite now. They're received over IP.
So that's good news for RCS, right? I mean, prior to digital radio, before that became mainstream, so I could picture that you have very limited number of radio stations that you could work with. You could try and sell this off. It's not like selling an ice cream, right? Everybody could buy it. There must be a decent margin for you to stay in business for this long, right? So, I mean, what is the margin like in the radio software industry?
So the software industry in general is an industry which is interesting because you have to create the product first. So in general, the software business forces you to create a product, and you're going to spend 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or 3 months, depending on whatever the product is, if it's just an app for your phone. And you're going to invest an amount of money in creating a piece of software. Once that software is done, you're going to license it to a user, and the user pay you a little bit of money, a fraction of what it costs you to do it, right?
Yeah.
But to license it, there is no marginal cost. I want to go too technical on our listeners, but essentially it means it does not cost the manufacturer almost anything to have one licensee to use it. Now, you have to have a number of people using your software, which will bring you to break even.
Mm.
The more users for your software, the more profit you make.
Yeah, but it must have taken a long time for you to have a decent number of radio stations. So, I mean, take into consideration the research and development costs, like you mentioned. What's the ballpark figure that you started off with?
So when you start, when you develop software, it is several million dollars of investment because you have to pay your programmers and you have to make it work. And obviously, you have to have a system which is a licensing system which allows you to bring your revenue in. So RCS, for example, we are the largest manufacturer of software for broadcasters. We have 15,000 clients around the world, and our licensing system is a monthly license.
Right.
So the same way you lease Microsoft Office, for example, where you pay $100 a year or whatever your currency is, and you pay that every year, our clients pay us every year a certain amount of money to use the software.
So has the model changed, I mean, since now that there are more radio stations out there?
What's interesting is that we started with a licensing system, a monthly license system, back in the mid-80s because nobody was doing that at the time. You would buy a piece of software and people would say, I'll give you X and I want to use the software forever. But we right away said, no, we're gonna take a small amount of money, but you're going to give it to us every month and we're going to keep on working on the software. And for that, you will have the right to use the software as long as you pay me, You have the right to call me anytime, day or night, 24-hour support, because as you know, a radio station is on all the time.
That's right.
And you you can tell me if there's any problem with the usage of the software.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break over here just for the meantime. Now, joining us on the Breakfast Grill this morning is Philippe Generali, the CEO of RCS Worldwide. We'll be right back with more discussion on technologies in the radio business, in particular cloud. So stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
You've tuned in to BFM 89.9. On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Philippe Generali, the CEO of RCS Worldwide. Your next iteration of software, Zeta, you've planned to integrate cloud and radio together. So can you share what kind of possibilities can listeners be expecting now that Zeta has positioned itself in the cloud?
So the cloud is a tool, just like a computer is a tool to do things, just like back in the days a tape recorder was a tool. Today, instead of having computer everywhere to run things, you can just have a phone, an iPad, a laptop, and you can use computers that are in the sky, if you want, mm-hmm. Figuratively in the cloud. In fact, they're in data center that are hosted by Amazon or Google or Microsoft or some private company. But essentially, you're leveraging somebody else's structure. Mm. The cloud is a way to have all those resources available infinitely all the time for manufacturer of software. So when your software run into the cloud, your user can use it anytime, all the time, without having to buy any computer.
Okay, so that's good for the radio station, the input-wise. How about the output? I mean, how can this translate to better radio for the listeners?
So it translates to better radio because now, with a cloud-based software, you can have your presenter that can be anywhere they want. They can be in the studio, or they can be at a fair, and they're on the air, and they can talk together wherever they are, and you can have live events that are covered by your journalists without them having to be in the studio and watching something on TV or whatever. They can be there.
Yeah.
They can talk into a microphone which is the size of your finger, and it will allow them to be on the air with the presenter who's in the studio. Or if there is no presenter in the studio, they can run the entire show from there.
So does this mean that it changes the way you manage talent as well? Are we saying that now I can have Nick Ferrari as part of my team right here?
Of
right
course. Now, that's exactly that. Wherever the participants are, they will sound like they're on the air. That's the ultimate creativity.
How about data? So one thing that your software does for a station is monitor matrix, and that's important for cost-conscious and performance-driven industry. Now, can you give us an example how your software adds value to, for an example, to program directors and station managers in relation to this cloud technology?
So, for example, when we have enough cloud, and we do have quite a bit of cloud, 15,000 around the world, and we sell our product in 115 countries. For each country, we can work with music station, for example, and we can look at what is playing on the air, and we can do what's called charts. In the U.S., we do the American Top 40 with Ryan Seacrest, which allows us to have a measure of the popularity of the song. From there on, we also do data with commercials, which is actually a product that helps station sell more and better to advertisers, because you can find out who are the advertisers on radio, on TV. You count the commercials. So we have cloud-based system that are counting the number of time a commercial is played on radio, on TV, on cable, the banners on the internet, how many times they appear, and then we produce results saying this is the number one advertiser, this is the number two advertiser, so we can evaluate what they spend when we have an idea of what it costs to be on radio or on TV, and then we sell that information to the agencies, to the advertiser themselves.
Right. So, I mean, you will take the lead with regards to analyzing the data, really, that's coming in through the cloud. Is
yes,
that right?
Yes.
I mean, so the next question would be, of course, when it comes to data, you have to ask about security, right? So what if the cloud provider, as you mentioned, Amazon, gets hacked and all those valuable data station has are compromised?
Right. So security is something which is a growing concern for everyone. Nobody likes to be spied on, and we are bombarded with email trying to get getting you to click on a link to infect your computer with a virus to find out what's going on. And frankly, at our station, some of our clients have been attacked by ransomware, where one of the employees clicks on a bad link and the entire station gets infected with a virus.
So does the responsibility fall on your hands under this scenario?
So what we offer a way for the radio station to store everything in the cloud, in a protected environment, completely virus-free. And the reason is it's written in a different language. Most viruses will go after a Windows system.
Yeah.
So we use a non-Windows system, and those assets from the clients will be protected. So the ransomware is the latest threat for organization and for professional. Some of them pay, some of them don't pay. The one who don't pay spend days to recover. And that's something nobody wants to have to face.
Okay, well, try and avoid that by clicking the wrong things.
Huh? Do not click on that link if you don't know who's sending that to you.
No, we've spoken at length about technology and the risk that comes along with it. Let's talk about the general trends of radio. What do you think of radio versus the online streaming services that are out there? And basically, the way we consume entertainment has changed dramatically in the last couple of years. Is streaming services a threat to the radio industry? What do you think?
I think, first of all, today audio is hot. Audio is hotter than it has ever been. If you look at people around you, you are seeing more and more earbuds in people's ears everywhere. So audio is hot, and that is something that the advertising community love. The fact that you can get your message via audio, not necessarily with a screen, just audio is a very hot medium. Now, you have several type of audio. You have the record collections. So the record collections can be what you had back in the days on record, actual CD collection, or it can be your Spotify account, or it can be your Deezer account. It can be whatever account you have which allows you to have your songs or any songs organized, and you can access them at any point in time. And then you have radio. Radio is entertainment. Radio is you, Shari. It's talking to people on the other side here, and you're trying to say something interesting. And you have
We try.
A big difference between radio and the record collection is that you have a personal connection with the listener, and it is something that is unrivaled, unequaled, and cannot be matched by a collection of songs. And then the other part of audio, which is very important, is audio on demand, which in most of the world is called podcast. The same way you have video on demand or movies on demand or news on demand or anytime you want to watch something, now you have an entire industry called the podcasting industry, which is growing at the speed of light. To give your listeners, and I know they're like business because they like to listen to BFM, the podcast industry in the United States last year was $250 million, and it's projected to be, by 2022, a $1 billion industry. So it's a very, very fast growing industry.
So it's not radio and all these streaming services and podcasts included. It's not a direct threat to each other, but more of sharing the, you know, sharing the attention of one single listener, right? Because if I was looking at statistics in the UK, numbers have dropped definitely since 2010 with regards to radio listeners. Of course, not significantly. We're talking about 840,000, and that's not a lot, right? I'm just trying to get what you were saying. Is it a threat or is it just sharing of sort of attention with all these different sort of platforms?
What's very interesting is that in terms of media, every time there's a new medium that's introduced or a new way to listen to audio, to watch a movie or to watch a video, there's always the Cassandras of the world are saying this is the end of this and this is the end of that. The day the TV was introduced back in the 50s, everybody said this is the end of the cinema industry. People are going to be able to watch movies on the TV screen and they'll never going to go to the cinema again. And then when you had video on demand and you had Netflix and you had Hulu and you had all those services, that was the end of the big network on TV. And when you had cassettes, that was the end of that audio. So the reality is that what we see in the behavior of people is that when there's a new source of entertainment, they add it to the time they spend being entertained. So the amount of time that people spend being entertained is actually growing every year because they add it. How many kids do we see now when we travel? If you go around, who are walking around with watching a screen all the time, no matter their age, they're sometimes 5 years old and they're already watching something on the screen just because the parents like it. It's nice and the kid's happy. You were never entertained like that when you were 5 years old before. Now, even adults, whether you're 20, 30, 40, or 50, you have more ways of being entertained. So those offer for entertainment don't compete. They add up.
Yeah.
And you are entertained much more today than you were before.
So the question was, is radio under threat? I take that as a no. It's just...
Radio's in great shape. You have 90% of the population which listens to radio. And there is no other medium for the advertising because, let's face it, I mean, advertising is the blood of the radio industry, right? But 90% of the population listen to radio at least once, one time a week. That means that you, as an advertiser, can reach 90% of the people in a town, like Kuala Lumpur, for example. You can't do that with even the internet.
Yeah.
There's not 90% of the people that have access to the internet at any point in time. So it really is a medium that is strong, that is alive, and it's the original medium that invented audio entertainment. So audio entertainment is hotter than ever, and radio invented it.
Philippe, thank you so much for being here on The Breakfast Grill today. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
My pleasure, Sherry. Thank you very much for having me.
So I've been speaking to Philippe Generali, the CEO of RCS Worldwide. You have been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Sharitz Abdullah for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.